You've just come back from America.
Yeah, well, we're doing an English tour at the moment. Yeah. The last gig is about 3 days at Great Yarmouth. I suppose you've all heard of Great Yarmouth. And we just finished.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
No, good place.
Oh, let me tell you about Great Yarmouth.
Oh, no, let's not.
Carry on.
Right, keep going. Okay.
Just finished a European tour and spent 7 weeks in America. So we really are, yeah, getting around.
Right, well, let's go back about a year ago when I was over here doing interviews and that. And at that stage, in the music papers especially, like Sounds, NME, Melody Maker, you were never out of the papers, right? There was always a story about you.
Yeah.
You were filling out the marquee every night, and you were sort of what most people termed as the first of the punk bands to emerge. Now, since then, the Sex Pistols and so on and so on, and now you've got, you know, Every Man and His Dog, with, you know, similar names, that turn themselves as punk rock bands or a new wave band. You've been away, you've been to America, you've broken into the American charts, and I've got my hand over the mic again. You've been away, you've been...
Shouldn't have the mic down there, Ian.
I know. You've been away, you've been you've made the American charts, you're very big in Europe. What does it feel like now to come back with all of this new wave sort of going crazy in England? And are you pulling crowds still?
Well, we're pulling bigger crowds than they are, you know.
Yeah?
I mean, we've got our following here. It's not new wave and it's not punk. It's just people that like our band, our rock band, you know. And, we honestly thought that the punk and the new wave thing might sort of spoil a bit for us, but it hasn't at all, you know.
Yeah.
It was a big fad, like it's just like anything else, a big fad for a while, and there's those that are still hanging on to it. But the main thing about it is that it gives rock music a real kick in the guts, you know?
Yeah.
And we sort of, even though we started the whole thing over here, like we played here before the Sex Pistols were even sort of, you know, thought of.
Yeah.
And now we've always been there, and people are beginning to realise that now they want more than just some... someone up their screen, you know, anarchy and rape and this sort of, you know, crap, you know. And we're it, yeah. We're doing it right.
Now, the thing is that you've always been a very tight rock and roll band, but for some reason, you've concentrated a lot on the live performances, especially in England.
That's all there is.
But there's never been a really definite single released on the English market, or there's been some confusion about the single. Why is this?
Well, singles for a start.
And I might add, just before you answer that, because I want you to answer another one, there's a little bit of confusion of what's happening in Australia with your singles too. So could you clear it all up, Bob?
Okay, now we'll start with England, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
Now, singles bands over here, or bands that release singles that take off, without already having established a road following, are going to suffer the same effects as has Sherbet, you know. Yeah, they had a big record over here, and their English tour consisted of one gig, you know, because no slant on them, but they're a record band, you know, and they had no road following, so no one comes to see their shows, you know.
Mm.
So we have the following. If we release a single here now, it would do really well. Excuse me. And we'd also have our following, you know.
Well, why isn't there a single release now, or, you know?
Well, we don't write the singles, you know. We don't write singles.
Of course you do.
We have done in the past, but we don't write something for, you know, specifically for a single.
Hmm.
No way. You know?
But it's common for any group to bring out a single.
We're an album band. We're a road album band. You know, singles don't mean a pinch to anybody, you know, in our band. There's no sense in them. Like, if some station picks up, like the BBC, which they probably never would, you know, then it might get played and it might... might, you know, make the charts, but there's no way we'd do it intentionally to make a single.
Well, does the same go for Australia?
No, Australia's a different market altogether.
Hmm.
You know? And there, if there's a likely single on an album, it'll be released as a single. But over here, the album's the main thing, you know.
Hmm.
And if a station picks a track that they sort of like to play a lot, well, it'll sell the album, not the single.
Yeah. Now, with Mark leaving the group, how's the new member fitted in?
Oh, it fits quite nicely, yeah. It's yeah. pretty good, yeah.
Did he alter the band in any way, the sound or anything like that?
Well, he's a guy that's been playing for a lot longer than Mark ever played. Like, you know, Mark played with us for 2 years, probably been playing bass for about 3, whereas Cliff has been playing for about 12 years. You
know? Yeah.
And so his technique is sort of far, I'd say, advanced you know, to what Mark's was, although Mark's was for the rock stuff was cool, you know. Cliff's just given us more sort of, more scope. Like, there's more you can do with the music. It's, in between the guitars, like Angus, I mean, more Malcolm and Cliff than could be done before.
Now, you've always, since you've been away, you've always gone back to Australia to record. Why is that? And I believe you're going back again to record.
Well, you know, it sort of coincides a few things, like holidays, you see your mum and dad, you know, and all your mates, and George and Harry are there, and the studios are there, and they know the studios like the back of their hand, you know. And it's just been a perfect setup, and we can spend unlimited time in the studio. It's all there. There's no need to go anywhere else because, like, if we say we went to, Miami, for instance, you know, we'd have to hotel it, and we have to buy a studio time. Like, you might get 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day or whatever, you know, which is quite expensive, you know. There's just no point in it as yet. You know?
Right now, you're really big on the European side, especially on the live touring side. Can you tell us a bit about the European market as far as AC/DC are concerned?
The European market, they're really quite strange over there. They're a lot of freaks over there. You know, they're sort of not punk, and they're not terribly young.
I was about to say, you might feel at home if there are a lot of freaks going on. Sorry.
You find a few on the street after the show in the gutter.
I mean. Right.
But they're the sort of... Oh, it's really hard to say, but they're more...
Are there an emotional audience
freak,
or what?
Yeah, emotional.
Ready to rock, you know?
Probably more so than the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Know? They're crazy, because, like, European bands don't play rock music, and if they do play it, they don't play it well, you know? So the only rock they get is from England, America, and now Australia.
Right, now, let's look at 4 countries, right? You've got the USA, which you're about to leave for and do an extensive touring side. You've got the European market, you've got the British market, and you've got the Australian market. Does the band change at all, or you just play the same thing for every market and use the same approach?
Exactly the same, yeah.
There's
no need to change. I mean, we're what we are,
yeah.
And we ain't going to change for nobody, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just... But it doesn't, like, you could put them all in one room and you couldn't tell one from the next. Like, they're just the same the world over, you know?
Well, what do you think will be the next single in Australia? Let There Be Rock?
Isn't it there yet? Isn't that the single?
I don't know, is it?
No?
Well, it's certainly not out at the
moment. Hang on, A Voice from Heaven says yes.
A Voice from Heaven?
Let There Be Rock.
Right, now what about an album?
We recorded an album last time we were back there. As yet, it's not finished. We've got a few things, we've thought about it and changed a few things. There's a live album probably coming out soon. It's taken from concerts in Glasgow, My Music Bowl. There was one recorded in Fort Lauderdale in Florida. There's about 4 in all, you know? And that might be sort of put into a live album, the best of... the 4 concerts.
Right, now tell us about your American plans.
Yeah, we're going back there in a couple of weeks, a tour with Kiss, supporting Kiss, and a band called Rush, you mightn't have heard of out there.
No.
You know? And we're doing about 12 dates with those bands, and a few of our own, and some co-headlining with a band called UFO.
Right, we've heard of them.
You know, UFO.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now just on the Kiss tour, right? Have you seen Kiss perform yet, live?
Yeah, I saw them in London last year.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, quite spectacular.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's going to be an amazing contrast between yourselves and obviously Kiss. Both very visual.
Well,
yeah,
see, the guy what's his name? Tell me the bass player's name from Kiss.
I don't know.
No? Coral, tell me the bass player's name from Kiss. He's a popular guy, isn't he?
Carl?
He came along to our show one of our shows in the Whiskey in Hollywood to see us play, you know, and he came up to us and said, look, think your band, and we're touring in December, and we'd like you to tour with us. Mm. You know? And they played to 80,000 people.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're huge.
So the show should be quite, you know, quite amazing.
Now, are you on the songwriting side? Have you written many songs of late? I mean, the band and yourself, or?
Well, we haven't written. Like, it's, while we're touring, you're sort of compiling all your ideas and you know, things you rip off from here and there around the countryside, like, you know. And I've got pages of stuff, and out of it might come, you know, three or four good ideas for songs. Kind of Thanks.
Make it 33-1.
Right, with all that's happening, I mean, have you had much chance, the group yourself, to write many songs over the last, say, three or four months?
No, we did about 10 last time back in Australia. But and I wrote, actually, I wrote the words to two songs about on the last tour, like on the road, and got back home and found out there was the same titles and almost the same lyrics as somebody else's.
Did you?
And I was really pleased with them too. I thought, oh, this is great. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, what is going to happen over the next 6 months then, apart from, like, you're in America? Will you be coming back to England during that time or what?
No, well, going to America for a month until Christmas.
Right.
Back to Australia for about, well, until probably the start of March. Record, do a few dates, yeah, like Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, and other places. And get a bit of sun. Be nice for a change.
And how's Angus going? How did Angus go over with, I mean, like, this time last year, the papers were going crazy and, you know, talking about this great little guitarist that's so full of energy. How did he go in America?
Oh, they couldn't believe him in America.
Yeah?
No. I like, the Americans are mad. Anything new, they really go crazy for it, you know? And although, like, only the rich people over there can afford to send their kids to schools where they have uniforms, this is, like, the novelty of it was just overwhelmed them. And the energy the band puts out, they couldn't believe it, you know. Because the band's getting more, you know, just
now
more.
How many gigs did you do in America?
About 28.
And how did you go?
Oh, yeah, excellent, yeah. Did a few blow-offs here and there.
Yeah.
It's good.
And how did the music press over there, you know, did you read any reviews or anything?
Yeah, like many good reviews, yeah. I don't think I read one bad one, actually, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that, I see over there, it's pretty laid back, you know.
Mm.
And a band comes along that rocks its ass off, man, you know, and you're right in there and they just love you.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop.
Now, when you come back, You're doing some recording, right, in the studios. What, are you finishing off an album, or?
Well, you know, the tracks we've done for the last album, we're going to clean a few of them up, you know, just sort of make them help. Because we've had a tape, and we've listened to the tape on and off over the last 5 months, and we sussed out a few things as to and how to sort of make the songs better, you know. Mm. And any new ideas we get as well, we'll put them down.
Why was there the approach last time you were back, that time that you were recording, to sort of almost stay low profile as far as television and all of that was concerned, and the press?
Yeah, well, you know, dig this, we've been working non-stop since the band started, you know, 8 months before I joined the band, you know?
Yeah.
And you just got to have a break, you know? And so the main thing about being back there last time was to actually write the songs, record them, break in the new bass player to the way of the band. That's why we only played one or two gigs back there, both at the Bondi Lifesaver.
Mm.
You know? Just got to have a break occasionally.
Well, listen, thanks for coming on Countdown again.
It's all right.
And
no worries, Ian. They still call you Ian, do they?
Yeah, well, Molly. Like and we wish you the best of luck in America.
Thank you.
And it's good to see that the album is really starting to break in, like really starting to break into the top 200. What is it? You know, it's around about the 150 mark.
150 with an arrow.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Not quite as fast as the bullet.
As the bullet. All right. Well, best of luck, and we'll look forward to seeing you come home and doing some tour dates.
Looking forward to getting back there.
Take care, Bob.
See ya.
Thanks, mate.